Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hey everyone, welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I've got a great guest today. I have Sean Condon with me. And Sean is known as many different names over the years in the direct sales industry, but mostly Pink Daddy and Mr. T. And Mr. T is the name that he still uses in all of his marketing. He's been in retail for over 30 years between management, corporate marketing, and merchandising here in the Northeast. After his divorce about 10 years ago, he got involved in direct sales. He had three young kids and only half a paycheck. He didn't want the boys' lives to be changed because their parents split up, so he needed to find that extra cash. Couldn't pick up an extra traditional 9-to-5 job since he needed the flexibility, and so he didn't want to be locked into a schedule, and he needed to be off every other weekend to be with the kids. So he started looking into home party businesses. His ex-wife had gone to doing home parties, and she always came home with something, so he figured that it would be an easy sell. When you first go out looking, you realize there is something for everyone, but not a lot for guys to jump into. So he bounced around through a few businesses, tried candles, tea, spices, and nothing really stuck. But what he did grab was a knowledge and experience in how to set up the perfect vendor booth and how to bring people to you. He always loved doing vendor shows and getting out there. The business has changed so much since he started, so if you're not all about the traditional home party, you now have plenty of other options. He's currently working on his first online course called Booth Camp. Love that.
Thank you.
Welcome, Sean.
Thank you, Belinda. I'm so glad to be here. Oh, we've been trying to get together and connect with you for a while now. The last time we met was when you were doing your anniversary tour back here in Hartford, and it was great, and I finally got a chance to connect back with you.
Yes, I'm so glad, too. So it is fun to keep connections, and we've known each other for quite some time, so this is good that we're getting to do this. So why don't you just tell us, fill us a little bit on this bio, and tell us about how your business today, and then kind of how that has shaped your lifestyle.
Sure. Yeah, so basically, like you mentioned, I got into direct sales when I got divorced. You know, it was just so tough just trying to find, you know, ways that your family doesn't have to be in an issue. It's like, oh my God, you know, mom and dad are divorced now and I can't, you know, still play baseball because my sons were big into baseball. And it's like, no, I want nothing to do with that. I'll figure out how to do this. So I tried everything else. And like we said, you know, you can't go into some of these jobs that your official like retail stores, because what happens, you know, you're the new guy. So you get all the holidays, you get all the crappy hours. And it's like, you know, I can't do that. I got kids I got on my weekends or even like an every other Wednesday at that point. So I couldn't get locked into any kind of set schedule. And that's what really took me into the direction of direct sales, because it's such a job that you create your own flexible hours. You work when you need to work. And it's just something that I really felt so comfortable getting into, but I had such an issue trying to find the one that would stick for me. It's just such a different world for guys to get into this world of direct selling. And, you know, I don't know the numbers offhand, but I knew it's almost like 80% of direct sales are women. And so the 20% of us guys trying to find something that really feels comfortable with us, it's really a struggle in my point.
Good. So then what have you landed on today, Sean?
Yeah. So finally, as a guy, I found something that worked with me. So it's a newest company that worked for me. It's called Simple Man. It's a men's grooming product line. And it started off as just two guys, salon owners, that were getting tired of working and spending so much money on their back wash station, you know, with all these different companies. And we all know, like the Paul Mitchells and everything else you see at these salons. And they're spending so much money on the back that they said, forget it. We're going to make our own products. So that's what they did. So this is where Simple Man came from. They're really trying to bring the men's grooming line into the network marketing, the direct selling area. You know, and it's great because they have all these graphics that you look at. And the men's grooming line themselves is like a $21 billion industry. So it was just a matter of time before the men's grooming line got into the direct selling area.
Well, that is fantastic. And I do know, so it's interesting just for our listeners, there is sort of this direct selling and home party plan, and then there's this multi-level marketing world, and there are a lot of opportunities there, I think, for men. But in the home party plan world, which really is about making connections, about building relationships, and about making money on the sales of products, those can become much more difficult for men to find that right niche. But you know what? That's the case, I think, with everyone. And I love that you said you tried a couple of different things, because one of the things I hear, and this is from women predominantly, but they try a couple of things and then they feel self-conscious about saying, oh, wow, well, those two didn't work. Now I'm with this company. I hear this all the time. Oh, what am I supposed to go back to my friends now and go, oh, now I'm doing this? I'm like, what difference does it make? If you are passionate about what you're doing, those first two might just not have been your thing. They might not have worked. And I think it's important for people that sort of maybe got into direct sales because their best friend said, do this with me. And then as time goes on, they realize, well, maybe I would be better suited at this. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking the time to find what you're really passionate about. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. Because like, if you look far enough and deep enough into the direct selling world, there is everything and anything that you want out there to sell. But it's really, you have to find the one that works for you. And that's the whole piece that, you know, I start off with candles because I'm a guy, you know, I want my house to smell good. And it's like, what else could I do at that point? You know, it was early on. I had an option of like doing kitchen gadgets or the plastic wares. And I just couldn't see myself going into some of these homes and trying to sell. It's almost like when you go back to like the old Fuller Brush people. I couldn't see myself doing that. I mean, I did well doing home parties with the different companies, but I just never felt comfortable doing it. So that's why I went through trying to do anything I could find that worked, that they could see, like, you know, what's a guy? A guy can do that stuff. But this, you know, as you go through these things, it's like, okay, no, that's not working. I like it, but, you know, I can't do that with my friends, or, you know, it doesn't make sense. And so I just felt, you know, going through all these different ones, and I loved every one of them to start with, but then I just felt that, you know, it wasn't for me. And that's why I found that by moving on and keep going along, it was just like, finally, I found the one that worked for me.
Oh, that's great. So, Sean, what do you think two of your greatest skill sets are that have helped you to be successful?
Well, as you could tell, I like talking. It really helps when you're getting involved with all the vendor booth stuff, was you need to be able to talk. You know, you need to be able to get out there and get out of your shell. I mean, and one of the things that I've learned that with all these new things out there is that, you know, you don't have to be, you know, in front of a camera. You don't have to be in front of like 200 people trying to, you know, sell your products. It's, you know, with Facebook parties, the original ones, it was really just you typed. So you didn't have to worry about being embarrassed or having that voice that was kind of shattery and sketchy because you're so nervous being in front of people. So I try to teach people. It's like, you know, you got to learn how to just break out of that shell and start talking. And one of the things that I've always told as one of the biggest things that I talk about is, do you guys talk in the car, you know, on a cell phone, or even listen to music and sing along with it? Which, yeah, of course we all sing along with it. But do you stop when the car pulls up next to you at a traffic light? That's the big thing. And usually everyone's like, oh, I'm going to shut down. I'm not going to talk anymore. But just keep singing, you know, so they look. Big deal. It's all about, you know, you being okay talking and singing with other people around. That's just like a simple thing. Also, you know, I talk about, how about just going to the grocery store and asking someone if they've tried this coffee or if you could reach this for me? I mean, I'm 6'3", so I'm the tall guy. So I'm always known as the tall guy in the grocery store. So I'm always like, excuse me, can you grab that? I always get that. So I love that. But then it's like you just get into a conversation. It's like, oh, have you tried this? So it doesn't have to be like this big speech. You got scripts and stuff. It's just a matter of just getting yourself, your voice out there and seeing how it works for yourself. That's why I try to explain a lot.
I'm sure that that is very helpful. Going back to the booths, I see people that just stand there waiting for people to talk to them and don't really know how to engage that conversation as a person is passing by, and you've got about 10 seconds to grab their attention. It's just learning, you know, good questions or good lead-ins or complimenting somebody on something. So wouldn't you say that that is probably one of the biggest skill sets in running effective trade show booths?
It so much is. I mean, I've done so many different shows. I've done the outside vendor shows, you know, these different like strawberry festivals where you look and people just, they put out a table, they just throw their jewelry out on the table, and then they sit in their car and wait for someone to come up. It's like, how are you expecting to make money doing that or even getting a, you know, interaction going? You got to be up there and just say, oh, you know, what is your style? Let me point you over here. And the only thing that always happens and you got to learn how to work around it is when you get stuck next to the guy that, hey, do you need aluminum siding for your house? Hey, you need new windows or a roof? It's like, you know, that guy is like the anti-vendor guy because they're like all of a sudden walking in front of your booth trying to, you know, steer people away from you. And then you just get into a conversation with these people. It's like, you know, don't worry about that guy. He's going to go away tomorrow. But come on over here and talk with me. I'm not going to do that to you or something. Just, but it's all about learning how to convert, you know, yourself into that person. It just says a simple hello. I mean, you talk to people at work and, you know, at the grocery store or somewhere. So why not?
Absolutely. It was so funny. I was at a trade show one time and I was there with a girlfriend. And so I was at her booth, but I was watching the lady across from us. And she had a beautiful, beautiful display. It was homewares, you know, home decor.
Sure.
But she had the table in front of her between her and the product. And then she was just sort of sitting there and everybody was just kind of like walking on by. And I thought, I just can't even stand watching this. So I said, hey, do you mind if I can come over and help you out a little bit? And of course, she's looking at me like I've got two heads.
Yeah, but who are you?
I kind of told her what I do. And so she said, I guess. So I first moved that table out of the way so we could open the space up more like a living room,
right?
You know? And I said, okay, we're going to put this table over here at this other L, so it's kind of not blocking.
Yeah.
And I go, and then I don't want you behind it. I want you in front of it.
Right.
And that's just going to be your table for, like, you know, brochures and some other things. And so I said, I just want you to stand here, and I want you, as people walk by, ask them if they've ever heard of the company. How are you doing today? Are you have any decorating needs, or aren't you glad that it's spring? Are you, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah. Just...
And all of a sudden, the next thing I knew is her whole booth was completely filled.
Right.
And people were picking up the throw pillows, and people were, you know, engaging with her, and it was a completely different experience. And I just think it's about being friendly, connecting, being open, and making yourself available for people.
Right. And the whole open thing is so key. It's like, you know, think about when you walk in a grocery store. You know, it's where all your products are. It's an open, almost like a U shape, you figure. You're going to walk down and the milk and the bread are always somewhere in the back because those are the things you're going to go for. So you really just want to have that open area. You don't want to be blocking them off and, you know, making them feel like if I come over here, you know, I'm stuck and you're going to trap me and I'm going to talk about, you know, whatever you want me to. I'm going to run out because I'm so scared. It's going to be, no, it's like, it's more friendly, inviting. And you've got, like you said, you got to have stuff that is a display that people want to come over and say, oh, what is that? You know, I'd never heard of that name, but look at the display. I don't even know what it is, but it's a cool display.
Well, that's absolutely right. So, Sean, what is one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that you've achieved that's super meaningful for you?
Well, one of the things that I really love is being on TV. It's one of the things that, because of, you know, getting into direct sales, that I was able to convert just being, you know, a vendor or a home party person into getting onto television, which was one of the biggest things that I always wanted to. You know, it's like one of those things, like, oh, you know, you see all these guys on TV, you know, even this, the traditional newscaster or whatever it is. And it's like, oh, I'd love to do that. And then when I first started, I just went into some of these local television stations and, you know, Facebook and emails and stuff, and they have all their websites online. And I just said, hey, would you mind if I offered you this opportunity to learn about, you know, whatever it was at the time? And it's like, yeah, come on, it'd be great. And now from just that simple opportunity that I gave them, I've been on TV. I'm on like once a month in different TV networks here in Connecticut, in Massachusetts, Rhode Island. I've got opportunities right now in New York. It's just unbelievable how just, you know, and it's you laugh at it. It's like, oh, people just say it's a hobby, the direct sales. But now, you know, people recognize me from television, and I don't even know where that came from. It's like, oh yeah, that is me. It's like, wow, this is great stuff. I'm so excited that, you know, that these small opportunities came up and I was able to do things with them. And that's what it's all about. It's just about, you know, making sure that you take these opportunities and you use them to, you know, make the things that you've always wanted.
So this is a big deal. Like, this is one of the things I've always admired about you as well. And so for our listeners, especially those in direct sales, and even outside of that, small business owners, entrepreneurs, it all fits. Just dive in a little bit deeper for us and tell us about exactly, you told it a little bit, but right. Just we're going to go down a rabbit hole a little bit here.
Okay.
I want you, because I think this is important for them. It could be a big, big lesson. Just a little bit more about how you initially got on some of those TV programs. Exactly. Take us just a little bit slower, step by step.
Sure. So basically what happened was we had a product that I was working with. It was a candle company. And what happens is you start talking to these different places. Like, for instance, the candle company was a soy candles. So I was trying to, you know, I emailed this company. It's called Better Connecticut. It's part of our local CBS network here. And I just mentioned that, you know, we watch your show all the time. My wife loves watching the show. And we know that you guys are about healthy opportunities and things for your show. So I would love to let you know more about soy candles. And they got right back to me. It was like, wow, that was great. I couldn't believe how quick they did that. And then once you get on, if you do, you know, something that they actually enjoyed, it's like, oh, we'll keep you in mind for the next one. And from there, I jumped into talking about tea. I did that for one segment. And now I've worked with this local company in Massachusetts, and we started talking about different ways of using tea infused into your foods, into your beverages. And so that brought me into the Massachusetts market. And now with Simple Man, the health benefits that, you know, with the tea trees and the lavender oils and, you know, just organics and minerals and all these great things that are paraben free and sulfate free and vegan and cruelty free, that the networks love hearing this stuff, that, you know, it's not your everyday stuff. The one thing that I've learned that is a good piece to remember is that sometimes they don't want you mentioning brand names. Like, for instance, I couldn't mention Simple Man on the show on one network, but I could on other ones. So it's really more about branding yourself and saying, you know, if you'd like to learn more about tea tree oil, you know, here's my email address. You could do your email address, your websites. They sure. Just don't. It's more of the sponsorship, so that, you know, if I wanted to give them a sponsorship advertisement, then I could actually offer the brand names.
Well, I think really I'm glad you said that, because I was going to bring up this point anyway for people listening that might not fully understand sure. That is, this is about you bringing added value to their listeners, to their audience. And so when people are thinking about what could I get on there and what added value can I bring, it's like a learning thing. So it's not on right. There for you to sell whatever you're selling. It's there for you to go in of what value could I bring to your audience.
Right. And that's what it really comes down to is, you know, they don't need to learn about, you know, Hood Milk or whatever company, you know, your local milk company is, but they want to know the benefits of milk that maybe that the person didn't mention about that, because they're all about the brand and, you know, where we're from. But the audience themselves want to know about the health benefits, like, for instance, the tea tree oils. So you know, if they want to learn up, learn more, that's where they come back to you. And if you were a simple man person, then you could bring them to your website. Or, you know, same thing. If it has to do with even some new stoneware that your kitchen pampered chefs or whoever you're with maybe has available, why is this better than the copper one or the steel ones? And, you know, and that's what is how you're going to sell yourself onto these shows.
Absolutely. So what's working from your happy place mean to you, Sean?
Well, it, you know, it's one of those things that I just love being at a happy place. It's like, as you could tell, I mean, this is all stuff that I'm really enjoying and it's really working for me. Like we were saying before, when I first got divorced, my kids were my whole world and I didn't want them to change their lives just because their parents divorced. So by finding out the right opportunities and working the different angles through the direct selling, I found out how I can make that money and still be able to enjoy vacations and not worrying about my cell phone bill. And just things like that, that, you know, you realize the world is so nice. And by you having all these opportunities to share with other people, it just makes yourself feel so much better about yourselves.
That's great. I love that. Yeah. So what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
Well, one of the things that I've done, you know, is research stuff and experience. What I've realized myself is that I'm more of a visual person than a person that can read stuff. Maybe it's just I've always been in the computer world, so I'm always looking at screens so I can see like small stuff. But then, of course, you know, the audios and the videos are so much easier for me. But the thing that I found, now, I don't know, I'm sure everyone's heard of The Wolf of Wall Street. That was a movie that was, I think it's Leonardo DiCaprio was in it. But there was actually, based off a true story, the guy's name is Jordan Belfort. So he's got a great story. He talks about his three things that he needs, that anyone needs to be successful in business. And one of them was to believe in your company. Because if you guys have seen other stuff out there, you know, if the person looks depressed or sad, they're talking about their company, it's like, well, why would I go with that company? I don't, you know, look at you. You don't even want to be here, but you're with that company. So, you know, get behind the company that you're with. Learn about their comp plan. If it's, you know, do the corporate office dealings that you've got going on there. That's one of the things. The second thing I would say is believe in the product. And that was what, like, you know, I went through with all these other companies. I was like, okay, I like candles, I like tea, I like spices, I like all these things. But can I really see myself, you know, being excited for so long about this? For me personally, I was great and I had a great, you know, wealth from everything. But I really felt that there's people in all these industries that make so much money. And I'm always in awe of these people. But they have to have that passion for it. And I just didn't have the passion that I did for these different companies. So with what I'm doing now, I really do believe I have the passion. So just, you know, when you're talking about the products, have your body language really, you know, excited and happy. And, you know, Belinda, in your books and in some of your videos, you're always like, you know, watch what you're doing. You know, if you're looking depressed, people can say, oh, forget it. I don't want to go with that company or with that product because she's not feeling good at all about that.
Well, even I just want to say, it's not even just depressed. It's like hesitant. It's unsure. It's those little nuances of even when people almost apologize for their product or business without realizing it. You know, I just kind of do this on the side. It's a, you know, it's just a sideline thing for me. And I don't know why people do that. But what they're actually saying is, you don't really matter. I don't know if I even really believe in what I'm doing.
Yeah. I just needed to get out of the house. So I picked up this thing. It's like, well, don't waste your time on me.
Exactly. So it does really matter. But I just wanted to add that in there because I think some people think, well, I'm not depressed. They might not be. But I see people, the number one thing they do all the time is apologize for themselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And cool. It just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead. Okay. Number three.
So the last thing, the third thing is be an expert in what you sell. So many companies have so many products. But it doesn't mean you have to be an expert in all those products. If you bring them to a home party, know the product. And that's the big thing. It's almost like we're just talking about, you know, you're apologizing for being there. And if you're going to start apologizing for not knowing the product, you know, why would I want to be with, you know, on your team if you don't care about the product, but you're going to bring it with you, you know, here's some soap, whatever. It's like, no, you gotta know the product. You gotta know that it's got, you know, aloe vera in it, or it's got coconut oil, you know, just, but it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be everything that the company has. It just has to be the stuff that you bring with you. Other stuff, people don't want you to lie. They don't want you to just make up stuff, because everyone knows about Google. You could just Google this stuff and find out, I can't believe that they told me that last night. That's completely the opposite of what it should be.
Right.
So it's like, you know, if you need to, people don't mind. It's like, oh, just, you know, give me your email address. I'm going to find out when I get home tonight, and I'll email you in the morning. And then if you say that, you got to do it. You got to make sure that you do follow up.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because, like, I'll just tell a little story here. So when I, years ago, my very first product that I ever sold was with Princess House, and that was crystal and china. And they taught us about the actual products that were in the line, you know, like this is this made of this and this is this, but they didn't really teach us about crystal in general. Like, what was the difference between full lead versus 24% lead? What really is hand blown versus pressed? And So I took it upon myself. I took it upon myself to look these things up. I went to some really nice department stores and went into their really nice crystal and china departments. And I remember going in like I was shopping, and I would say, oh, so now tell me the difference between this and this or this and this. And then they would tell me all this stuff. And I became so knowledgeable about my product line, not just in that product line, but about the product in general.
Right.
And then I also was able to find like wonderful little, like, you know, tricks that you could do, like keeping a little tiny glass of water in your china cabinet in the back so that nobody could see it, but it kept moisture in your china cabinet so that your glass doesn't become really brittle because it dries out. Mm-hmm. And like, they're little tips that people are like, oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And then you're bringing added value. And so I think people always think, oh, they should be teaching me this. But you know what? You've got to put yourself out there, and you've got to seek out this information.
Right.
You need to become knowledgeable about your products, and not just the products within your company, but like that product in general, and like maybe competition or other products and how they compare.
Yeah.
So I would completely, completely agree with that, because I just don't see people taking the initiative to find out that information for themselves.
And you know, to add to that, now that you've got all this expert knowledge, you could be the one at the convention that stands up and you have a little segment on education, and they're gonna be like, oh my God, who is this person? Now all of a sudden you become the influencer in the company because you took that simple step of just learning. What else does tea tree do besides save yourself in your shampoos and your conditioners? Oh, well, you know, it's been around for so long, and this is the name of it as the chemical name, you know, whatever it could be. But it's like all of a sudden you become that person that people are like, wow, there she is, or there he is. He's the one that was up on stage. It's like, wow, he must be really big up in the company.
Exactly. But it also gives you to another point of that is, Every single time I ever was asked, and it was plenty starting in my 20s, to speak on stage because of these different things, it just really gave me more practice, helped me to become more comfortable, helped me to understand that I really had a knack for this, which really led me to where I am today.
Right.
So it's really funny how life can take you and lots of different twists and turns if you just put yourself out there.
And it's just, like you said, just having that one opportunity on stage, and then you just feel the rush. It's like you see yourself on stage. It's like, well, I can get used to this.
So what new and exciting things, Sean, are you working on that you think our listeners today could benefit from? And then, of course, at the end, you can tell us where they can find you.
Okay. So, like we mentioned earlier, I'm working on a brand new online course called Booth Camp, which the cover is going to have like your dog tags, but say booth instead of boot camp. You know, it's going to be all the different notes that I've taken over the years, I'm converting into an online course. Now, these are the things that I've talked to all my team members all along, but I never actually put into a course. I'm like, you know, it's about time I did this. And we're going to talk about the different modules and, you know, space, depth, and the triangle, so that you got height and width, and how to do a little art of conversation. And then simple stuff like the, I don't want to call it the first aid kit, but it's the oops, just in case I forgot something kit. It's got like your safety pins and string and tape. You know, some of these things that you forget about, extra pens. And it's just going to be such a great thing. And when it's available, I'll make sure that you know, Belinda, so that you can share it with your audience.
Okay.
And then also, my other big thing that I'm working on is the virtual home party system 2.0. I put together this virtual party system, which was for Facebook originally, just like everybody else was doing. It was just basically typing. And then from there, it went to the Facebook Live that you were just standing there in front of your camera. But I've taken it to another level. I've actually have it almost like you're staring at a screen with me, and then the products come up, and then we do games, and it's going to have the product next to me, and it's going to be videos, and it's all together, just taking it to another level. And it's going to make you look so much better than other people out there that are just standing in front of a camera pretending that they're in your living room. But this way, it's going to be like everything is right in front of you. You've got charts and PowerPoint slides going in and out, and you're going to be on screen as well and talking in interactive live. It's really unbelievable what it's going to become looking like. I'm all excited about it so much, as you could tell.
Oh my goodness, that is exciting. Well, yeah. We're always looking for new platforms and new ways to bring a whole new experience to this virtual party. So that will be amazing.
Yes.
Great. Well, Sean, it was absolutely a pleasure chatting with you today. And I know our listeners are going to be intrigued. And I know that they're also going to take a lot of great nuggets from your advice and wisdom. So I can't thank you enough for sharing your time with us today.
I really appreciate you having me on. This is great stuff. And I always appreciate, you know, having a little conversation with you. It really, you know, since we've known each other for a while, going through all the direct sales conferences, and it's just great to connect with you again.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, it's a great world. It's one I'm still get excited every single time I go speak at a conference. That, you know, it's really funny because I do a lot of consulting and my business has morphed and changed, and we help startup companies, and we're just doing a lot of things, writing, training, curriculum. But when I walk on that stage and I'm able to present to a group of people and watch them walk away with, you know, I can tell, just go ready to put things into action. I have fully discovered that it really is my happy place. It just gets me really super excited each and every single time, no matter the audience. So
it's great.
I know. I love I'm still able to do that, even amongst all the other things that we've got going on, including this podcast.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So instead of giving my email address and stuff, you can go to, if you'd like to contact me directly. And as long as we've talked, you know, I have no problem chatting with people as much as they want to. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know, enjoying a conversation. If they want to email me directly, it's at thesimplemanct@gmail.com. And we can have a conversation through there. Or if you are going to go to my Simple Man website, which is bestgroomingproductsformen.com. And there's a contact information there as well.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Belinda.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.